the time. God is good. Praise the Lord. It's nice to be here again tonight. I grew up in this area and had many opportunities to be here, to work here. Somebody was my counselor, just to give you an idea. Brother Phil and I used to play ping pong. You remember that, Brother Phil? He always lost. He would bet all the he would bet all the campers a hot fudge sundae from the boathouse, whoever beat him. And I got a lot of hot fudge sundaes. Some good memories, though. I appreciate Brother Phil. I still call him that. I appreciate his heart, and I appreciate the good times that we had in Nonantum. I always appreciated that we could have fun on the baseball field or canoeing or doing different things, but we would go back and, you know, it was just some special times in that service up there in Nonantum. And I know Brother Phil's heart has always been to love God and to share God with others. And it's at those times in meeting, in fact, I was in Nonantum when I felt God's tug into ministry and into missionary service for him, 16 years old, around there, 15 or 16, something like that. I felt the tug and just said, God, I want to serve you. I have only one life to live, only one life, and it's short, but we want to live it. I want to live my life that matters in the end. I don't want to just do what everybody normally does or says to do, but I want to do something that you want to do, what you think most is most important, what God thinks of us. What God wants from us is most important in our lives. And so I hope that's your heart. I hope that becomes your motto. Lord, what do you want? Lord, how can I serve you? How can I follow you? And even as a teenager, God put in my heart, I don't know where it comes from. Well, I have an idea, but he put in my heart just a burden for China and for the Chinese people. And it's been in my heart for many years. And said, Lord, I'll pray for them. But it's more than that. He said, I want you to go. I want you to go. And so we've been in China the last, about 6-7 years in China, and just had great opportunities to be able to share there and be able to, through friendships, be able to share Jesus Christ with our friends, our Chinese friends. We can't have big meetings or anything like that, but through friendship and through small groups, we're able to share Jesus with our friends. And we see some good things happening there. We see people hungering and thirsting for answers. I remember one time we have this thing in college. I teach English in college. And they have this English corner. And it's just a place where it's kind of casual. People can come and practice their English, their oral English. And I went to one of these English corners and I met a group of guys. And I remember talking with one guy, his English name was Francisco. Think of San Francisco. They have really interesting English names over there. Sometimes they tell me their English name and I say, what? Your name is Purple? Your name is Celery? Your name is, many, many different kinds of names. I think one guy was Beyond, another one was Woodgate. Just, like you say, it sounds good to them, so they choose, oh, that's a good English name. But this one guy, Francisco, he says, we talk with him, and again, in certain countries, you have to be careful because, sometimes the persecution is harder. You have to be careful through who you talk to or what you talk about. Once you become friends, then it's more ground, or it's, in a sense, we say safer to be able to share with them. But in this English corner with a small group of guys, I began talking to him and asking him, I said, what's the purpose of life? Sometimes I like to get them thinking. And it's good to think about some of the tough questions in life. You know, if you don't know the answers, then people aren't necessarily going to come to you for the answers. If you don't know what you believe and why you believe it and are able to communicate that, people may not find the answers through you. But if you have that and you can communicate it in a good way, in a loving way, in an everyday way, people will come to you and say, hey, what do you believe? What is the purpose of life? Why am I alive? These are a lot of questions because in China we've gone, we're still communist China, but there's a lot of changes in China, tremendous changes going on, and some for good, some for maybe not so good, but there's a void to some degree in society. There's a void that has gone from realizing that what they've been told is not really the answer. And they've gone then to wondering, okay, maybe it's all about money, all about the wealth. People are seeking wealth. People are seeking treasure. And it's interesting that some people are in between that and they have a void and they're like, well, what we were told, we realize is not true. So what is truth? What is real? Why am I here? There's, you know, almost 1.5 billion people just in China alone. And there's so many people. It's like one person can feel like, why am I here? What is my purpose? And so I ask sometimes students, I say, you know, what is the purpose of life? Why are you alive? Why do you have life? Your life is not an accident, but you're here for a reason. You have a purpose and a plan. And of course, if they ask more questions or we can talk in small groups, I then can share with them more and more about Jesus Christ and the answers that there are. And this one guy, Francisco, you know, months later, he's now a close friend for about 5 years. He said, you know, you asked me one time, what is the purpose of life? And when you asked me, I didn't know. I didn't have an answer. I didn't know why. But then with a smile on his face, he says, now I know why. Now I know why or what the purpose of life is. And the purpose in life is to know God and to serve God. And that's why many of you are here. We're here in life to know God and to serve God. No one can serve two masters. And yet some people try. They try to serve money. They try to serve God. It doesn't work. You'll love one, you'll hate the other. Only one master in our lives. And so we've been talking, or I had this thought in my mind about treasure. Everyone is looking for treasure. All of us, there's something inside of us that wants to find treasure. Have you ever looked for treasure? Maybe it's been a treasure hunt as a party. Maybe it's been just looking for something that you were always wanted. But there's in us a desire for treasure and for what is right and what is true. There's been, in history, there's been the great gold rushes, California and Alaska. People would rush and they would spend years or even most of their lives trying to find that treasure, that gold. And there's different types of treasure too, isn't there? There's treasure that is not really treasure. Some people have said, oh, I'm rich. I found some gold, a big piece of gold, or I found something that I think is really valuable. And they go to cash it in and they find out it's fool's gold. It's nothing. I hope that in our lives, and I trust in our lives, that when we get to the end of our life, we won't be a fool. We won't be looking for fool's gold and say, I'm rich, but then have nothing. Have nothing. The world is sort of like that. The world is looking and searching for that treasure. They're searching for answers. They're searching for what matters in life. They're searching for something that hopefully will last. Some people find it. I hope today that each of you also have found it in Jesus Christ. But some people miss it. Some people miss it. There's a place just north of here called Herkimer. And Herkimer is known for their diamonds. Now, don't run out of the room and go looking for diamonds, because these are called Herkimer diamonds. Some of them are very small. Some of them can be even quite large. But Herkimer diamonds are not really too valuable. Most of them are just worth a few dollars, maybe. But when I was little, someone gave me some diamonds. I heard diamonds, I'm like, wow, there's some nice diamonds. I've collected some of them over the years. And you can still go there and you can take a shovel and there's a place that you can dig for diamonds. And sometimes you can find different sizes. But you know, those diamonds are nothing. That treasure is nothing. It will not last. They say, when they sell diamonds, they say diamonds are forever. And I think about that and I say, no, diamonds aren't forever. Maybe they're a girl's best friend, I don't know. But they're not forever. Okay, they won't last forever. You know, people look. They look for treasure. But I'm reminded tonight when Jesus says about the person who counts the cost and realizes, wow, there's some treasure that is worth everything. If you were to give me everything you have for a Herkimer diamond, I would be richer. You would have lost, because that diamond is nothing. But Jesus gave that parable. He says, a man found some treasure in a field, and he saw that it was very, very valuable. But the cost of the field cost him everything. He went and he sold everything. He bought the field so he could have the treasure. Isn't that great? I don't see the man really crying as he's selling his things. Sometimes I think of loss, and you know, there's a little bit of sadness or tears to that. But I think this guy was happy. I think he was joyful that, wow, he found something that he was excited about. He found something that had value. He sought it, he searched it out, he found it, and then he gave everything he had. If you see, finding the real treasure is going to cost you something. I remember, again, being here many times, and you know, at the end of each service, or most services, there's a time, an altar time. And as a worker, you get tired. You just get tired, just, you know, just enjoying the lake or enjoying the sunshine. But we were challenged, we were encouraged to spend time at the altar, to seek God. Yeah, we can seek Him through songs, we can seek Him in the service, we can seek Him, you know, during our devotions. But there's a special thing that at the end of a service, God has been working. God has been dealing in your heart. And everyone decides yes or no. And so I remember at the end of service, many services, we would have a chance to seek God. And I took advantage of that. God would sometimes lay it on my heart and I'd be like, oh, I'm tired, or oh, I want to go talk to somebody, or I want to do something. But I said, no, God, You are the treasure. You are the treasure that matters. You are the most important relationship that there is. And so I would spend time. But it costs something. It costs time. It costs energy. It costs something to serve God and to follow God. Now, I don't know. I wish all of you could come to China with me. I'm going back in a few months. Let's go. But God is the, in a sense, the master commander. He's the captain of the team. He's the coach that gives the plays. And so each of us just need to be open and say, God, what do You want? God, what is the purpose in life? It's to know You. It's to serve You. It's to follow You. Lord, have I given You everything? Have I said a complete yes to You? Have I gone through the trials and the pressures? Have I said yes to You with my future? We have plans and ideas and dreams, but Lord, do I really believe that my life is Yours? Do I really believe, and have I really said yes, Lord? I surrender it to You. It's not easy leaving friends or family or familiarity to go and live in a different culture, a different part of the world. Certainly worth it. I enjoy it. But there's a cost to it. There's a cost to serving Jesus. Are you willing to pay that cost? If you say yes, especially when you're young, you have your whole life in front of you to serve Jesus. And that life can make a difference. That life can be used of God to do His plans and His purposes. So what treasure are you seeking today? What treasure are you searching next month, next year? Are your plans, are your dreams and His desires? Have you said yes to God with a whole heart? Here at camp, God's Spirit is working. God is working in your heart. You are here not by accident, but you're here because God wants to work in your heart. And He wants to change you, just like our brother and sister. God does some things that sometimes are unexpected. And our place is just to say, God, I'm open to You. God, I open my life. I open all that I am to You, and I say yes. Lead and guide me. Direct me. Show me what You want for my life. I will say yes to You. You may have to go through the pressures. You may have to go through the perplexities of life and the things that you don't understand in life. And those pressures, just as our sister was talking about, those pressures change us. We don't like the pressures. I don't like the pressures. But those pressures can change us. You all know that a diamond comes maybe from a lump of coal. But because of the great pressures in time, it changes into something very, very valuable. Very something that's going to be lasting for a long time. And that's the same way God works in our lives. I know we want to run from the troubles. We want to run from the problems. But be open. Say, God, what do you want to do? God, how do you want to change me? How do you want to make me into what you want me to be? Lord, I just simply say yes to you. In 2 Corinthians, I'll just read. You can just listen. Sometimes it's good to listen to the Word of God. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the last half of the chapter, it says this. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not, do you know it? But not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Now that tells me two things. That tells me, first of all, there's going to be challenges. There's going to be problems. There's going to be things that come into your life unexpectedly. Things that you don't maybe imagine, or you even say, God, I didn't think this would happen to me. But it also tells me a second thing. God is there. God is working. It's difficult, but it's not impossible. It's difficult, but it's not impossible with Jesus and you together. And so whatever you're facing or will face, again, I heard many sermons that were for the future. Whatever you may face in the future, remember, you're not alone. It's difficult, but not impossible. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may always also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You know what camp really is about? It's not about the lodge or the beach or the boathouse or the lake. It's about what's unseen. What God wants to do in your heart, in our lives, is something unseen. Something that we can't always see. Something that he wants to do even today or this week in your heart is probably unseen. If you're wondering even why you're here, oh, God has a plan. He wants to do something in your life. It's not an accident, but he wants to change you more into his son's image. He wants to change. He wants to do something in your life that will change you and will equip you for your future. there's a mine not too far away from here. My brother and I used to sneak into it. Wouldn't recommend it. It's a little dangerous. But it's really interesting there. Before I got married, when I was dating my wife, we decided to take her down there. And there's the ceilings in the wintertime are full of bats, little brown bats. And there's, you know, lots of big boulders and big timbers that have fallen over and things like that.
I considered stop dating him, but I continued.
Yeah. And we went down in there, and of course, I don't know if you've been in a place where it's dark. I mean, some nights in the Adirondacks, it gets really dark, where you can hardly see anything. In the cities, you don't really have that opportunity as much because of so much lighting. But down in that mine, we went down there, and my brother and I decided to turn out the lights. And we just kind of turned out the lights and then became really quiet just to see what my wife would do. Not that we were trying to be mean, but just to get the feeling of it. And we turn out the lights, and it's so dark in there that, again, you can put your hand in front of your face and you can't see it. You can open your eyes as wide as you can, and there's nothing. You can't see a pinpoint of light. It's just complete darkness. Complete darkness. Even a darkness that's, it almost has weight to it. It feels heavy. It feels like it's almost like water or something in front of you. It's so dark. And, you know, when you're in the dark and you can't see anything, things can change in your mind. Perspectives can change. I think of the world living in the dark and building things and thinking that they are rich when they are really poor. Doing things that they think are going to be monumental and lasting forever and changes in history, and it's really going to be dust. It's going to be nothing. I think of people living their lives just in a complete lie, and at the end of their life realizing maybe their eyes will be opened and they will see, wow, this was reality. I think of my students in China and telling them sometimes directly, I say, what you see may not last forever, will not last forever, but what you can't see can last forever. And it gets them thinking. Gets them thinking about spiritual things and about eternity. I'm challenged. I want to live my life to count for God and to do things that will last forever. I hope that you also will be encouraged, that even as you volunteer at camp or as you come here to worship or come here to rest or recuperate, that you will be encouraged that what you're doing, if you're doing it for God and if God is leading you, that it will last forever. There's a song that goes, seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. Jesus is that precious jewel. Don't ever believe the lie of what the world calls success. Success is not what you can see, but success, true success, lasting success, is what you can't see. So when you're here at camp, just keep that openness. Anytime, keep that openness, because God is always talking. God is always speaking to us, and He always wants to commune with us. That's why He made us. He made us for that relationship and for that friendship. So keep that openness. Seek God. Seek Him as that precious jewel. That, again, if you seek Him, He promises you will find Him. Seek Him. This is an opportunity for you. Two times a day or more, you can seek Him and you can know Him. He is a precious jewel. He is something that will last forever. And I thank God that I can know Him and I can share Him with others, that they also can know Him. Thank the Lord that we can know Him. He is worthy to be praised, and He's worthy to be exalted. Let's seek Him with our hearts, and let's believe the promise that says, if we seek Him, we will find Him more and more and in a greater way.